Welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. Wise Guys is your home to interact with the worldwide community of BYU fans in a variety of ways. We're your hosts, Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler.
What you're about to hear is the audio recording from our weekly live broadcast. We invite you to join us for the show live every week to chat with us and with other BYU fans. You can find the schedule and watch live at wiseguys.com. That's ysguys.com. Thanks for listening and go Cougs.
It is Monday night. That means it's Wise Guys. Welcome to our lair in Provo, Utah. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler. It's such a big night for BYU that we've got the former head coach, Steve Cleveland, the NCAA tournament head coach, the rebuilder head coach, and our really good friend. So it's good to have you with us.
Great being with you. Great time to be here together.
We'll get your mic turned up here. So, but
before we actually officially welcome you,
we just want people to know that you're here with us already.
The live stream's hopping
right from the top of the show.
It's the number one BYU sports live stream show in the entire world, and we expect reaction. Already Panama is on the board. We expect a global interaction tonight. BYU's looking for a new coach. So follow us on YouTube. We'll put in the link in our chat. Hit the subscribe button. It's all free. We're also live on Facebook. We're live on Twitch, and we're live on ysguys.com.
We got Henderson, Nevada in the house. We got Olathe, Kansas in the house. We've got Tucson, Arizona in the house. Deweyville, Utah. Never forget Deweyville. And of course, we love it when Panama comes in the house. I'm expecting that we're going to get Colombia in the house and the Philippines in the house. And maybe our boy Corey will join us from Japan now that the Masters is over. He might join us from Japan. So
we might even have cartel members in Panama.
We probably do.
Hey, look, how about Fresno in the house right there?
Fresno's in the house, Coach Cleve.
Do we have a connection there? Let's see. Gerald
Higginbotham.
I know that name.
Yeah, watching from Fresno, go Coach
from Fresno. Go Cleve. There you go.
So we got a lot of interviews waiting for you at ysguys.com.
Yeah, and make sure you subscribe. Get the weekly email if you subscribe to ysguys.com. Highlights from the past shows, all the past interviews. You got Ty Detmer on there, Steve Young, Danny Ainge, Wally Joyner, Marie Osmond, Glenn Kozlowski, Jimmer Fredette, Kyle Van Noy, Sherry Dew. I mean, who am I missing?
Like, that's just a few.
Name a few. Steve Cleveland more than just this time, but he'll be on there like his name. You can go down to his name and it'll show like the various appearances that he has made.
Listen, when it's lousy golf weather, we can always get the COVID.
That's right. Once it gets warm, we may not see him. So enjoy tonight for sure.
Here's what we got tonight. Mark Pope's departure to Kentucky. What does that mean for BYU? What happens next? And that's why Coach Cleveland's with us. And we'll dive into that. We've also got some football tonight.
Yeah. So get ready for the fall, right? Because here it comes. Spring ball is over. Summer workouts are underway. Recruiting starts tomorrow, so the open recruiting period. So coaches are back out on the road recruiting. But we've got BYU receiver Darius Laster in the studio tonight.
Yeah.
And not only that, we have BYU sophomore running back LJ Martin in the house tonight. So
those guys are big. Those guys have to have huge seasons coming up.
Yeah, they need to have big seasons if BYU is to take a step forward, get back to bowl eligibility, and compete in the Big 12 this year.
All right, Cougar Nation on our live stream. Let's get right to what everyone's talking about. What's BYU going to do for a basketball coach? Mark Pope takes the Kentucky job. Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders, Ali Khalifa are already in the portal. We're not quite sure where things go from there. There are some names that we're going to talk about that are candidates for this head job. We think it'll be filled this week. That's the buzz. It'll be filled this week. And so let's bring in officially former BYU basketball coach Steve Cleveland. Coached the Cougars from 97 to 2005 before leaving for Fresno State. Mark Pope left for the place he wanted to go. Steve left BYU for Fresno State where he wanted to go.
Well, was that where he wanted to go, or did he feel guilty because he was the only human being on earth that could get them back in good graces with the NCAA? I think...
Jerry Tarkanian's going to be the first person to hug you when you cross over.
Yes, he's the man.
And he's going to thank you.
He's the man that saved Fresno State basketball. We'll get into the details.
Before we finish tonight, I'll give you some details and things you've never heard.
Okay, good.
I was just having a conversation with a big booster down there, and he had no idea, and he was giving him money. Not illegally. You know, he really supports the program, football and everything. And I said, So the last half hour, as I was driving over here, I was sure
you got some new stuff.
I got some good stuff.
Okay, good, because we don't share that unless you share it with us. But I'm going to say, and this is not an overstatement, that Steve Cleveland kept Fresno State on the basketball map and from being in big, big trouble by taking that job.
Saved him.
And Fresno is near and dear to his heart. You know, he coached over there at Fresno City College for a long, long time, and he was the right guy.
So you get what it's like to go back yes. home. And yeah. So Mark Pope decides he's going to go back to where he spent 2 years playing at Kentucky and was the captain of their championship team. Really, the only Pope question we have tonight on the show is, were you surprised he left?
No.
Were you surprised Kentucky offered it to him?
No.
Really?
No, I wasn't. I mean, well,
why?
Just because I've spent enough time with him. And this is not about being a BYU guy or not being a BYU guy.
Right.
And if you're not, you know, you're not yeah. a good member of the church right. or all the craziness that's out there. I've always felt like Mark had another level of where he wanted to be. And we had some private conversations. Never once did he ever talk about ever leaving BYU. I never had a conversation with him about that. But I just always felt that there was another level for him. And the fact that he, you know, he started looking at his life and being at Kentucky and winning a national championship and then going to medical school. And then, yeah. you know, we didn't really know what this path was. And right. then all of a sudden, I think it was yet, he might have been at NC State as an assistant there for a year or two.
He was Wake Forest.
Yeah, yeah. 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 He just, it was in his heart and his blood. And I think doing what he did at UVU, having success against BYU when that had never happened, you know, he did all the right things, and he connected with the guys and got everybody excited about basketball again when there had been a little bit of a dip in the WCC for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But it didn't surprise me at all. I just been around him and know that his vision was beyond here. And it's not that it's any better. Yeah. Obviously, Kentucky is a blue blood program and all that going on, but we're sitting here at one of the very best universities on the planet, athletically, academically, and every other way. So there'll be days, I promise you, that I had those moments. And I was going into a much more difficult situation.
Right.
But you miss this place. Mm-hmm. I mean, BYU changed my life. There was no question. And not that I was, you know, had a lot of bunch of personal problems or anything, but I got a different perspective than I had ever had before. And I fell in love with the players and the coaches. And I'm so happy to be here. Yeah. And live here with my children and grandchildren and connect with so many players and coaches and get reconnected, because it's just been wonderful here.
You know, I talked to Mark a lot over the years, and he makes no bones about how much he loved this place.
Yeah.
While he was here, I haven't talked to him since he took the job, but how special the place is, how special the fan base is, how special the Marriott Center is, how much he loved working with the kids. I'm like you. I thought he would leave, but I thought, there's maybe three jobs in the whole country that you could take. He would take the Duke job.
Yep.
He'd take the Kentucky job. Outside, like, and those were really the two that I thought, maybe a North Carolina job. So I felt he'd be here a lot longer, because I didn't think the opportunity would come this early. And clearly he wasn't the first choice, but, you know, does that even matter? Kyle Whittingham wasn't the first choice at Utah.
Right.
Like, they offered a couple of guys, and then Kyle got the job. Thank goodness those other guys turned it down.
And that happens
right?
a lot more than people
right.
know.
Yeah, people don't understand that. And so a couple of guys said no because it wasn't the right time, and they were at other places. And so, to me, it came quicker than I thought. But you can have both, right? You can love this institution, and you can think it's great, and you can cherish your experiences, and you can think it's one of the greatest places in the world.
Yes.
But one of those jobs comes up, that's okay, no, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to be there has to be an emotional pull. There's obviously a financial situation that you can really change your life as well. But I don't think anybody that's in this business, that's their priority.
No.
I mean, nobody's thinking about that. I think maybe the fans think, well, he went there for the money. He didn't go there for the money. He went there to be one of the iconic basketball programs in the world.
His wife, however.
Yeah. Well, she might benefit from that.
And if he, because they've not been great lately. Not to Kentucky standards great. They think that they should be playing, and this is a funny thing to say, they're not playing at UConn's level lately.
No.
Right? So if Mark can get them back to where they're like UConn is right now, he'll go down in history at that place, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you're right. Kentucky's not what they used to be. And a change was needed. And I think everybody feels that at times, that I think that leaving here was what I felt, this was what I was supposed to do, but I had some real remorse and painful moments. But it also, it opened a door for a new staff and a new team and a new era, and just great things happened. So, no, I don't think it's coincidence that these things happen. I mean, I was right where I was supposed to be, yeah. and And Mark's right where he's supposed to be.
All right, now let's talk about where the Cougars are going to be.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the coaching candidates, but let's talk about players first, right?
So Ali Khalifa, Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders are all in the portal. There could be more. How should BYU fans digest this?
Khalifa makes sense. I don't know what, you know, if coach is going to run the same system and offensively, and I would assume that he is, and Khalifa was a big part of that, and if he's healthy, it really wasn't healthy most of the year, but he had his moments. I'm surprised that Saunders would do that, but I'm not surprised because they don't know who the next coach is going to be, so let's put my name in the portal. Maybe he and Coach Pope have had conversations. That could be. I don't think anybody really knows unless you're a family member or a close family member, friends of the family. Robinson still, in my mind, is not resolved either. I mean, he's not going to stay at BYU. We know that. But I liked him going to the league. I thought there was some opportunities there. But I will not be surprised at all if he's in a Kentucky uniform next year.
Are you surprised that more aren't in the portal? Because I wasn't surprised that these guys were in the portal because I thought, well, you just, when your coach changes, you put yourself out there to give you an option, which certainly one of those is, oh, I like the guy they just hired, I'm coming back. And that might be your first option, right? Yep. Are you surprised that more guys' names aren't in here already?
No, because I think there's connections with the school and the traditions of this school and the church. There's a lot of things that play into that, not just the young man, but their family. And, you know, a lot of these young men grew up wanting to be good enough to be in a program like this. So it didn't surprise me. I don't know what Dallin's situation is, and I'm probably closer to him than I should be in terms of love.
Right, because he was a missionary in Fresno
In my YSA award there, mm-hmm, and right. I love him.
Yeah.
And if he can go to Kentucky and play and start there, I think it's great. But you got to assess, and especially right now in transition, Mark's got to go get a new team, it looks like.
Right.
It's going to be hard to get those guys to come back, okay? So he's got to get a new team, and bringing Dallin Hall makes a whole lot of sense because he's tough, he's competitive. He may not be the perfect penetrate and kick and beat people off the dribble, but if he's good enough to play in the Big 12, I promise you he's good enough to play in that league as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I was thinking about this, and tell me if this is a mindset that might be out there. Because at first I'm thinking, why doesn't everybody just put their name in the portal? But there is a risk to doing that, of kind of disassociating yourself with BYU. The guys that did, like if Richie Saunders wants to come back, they'll welcome him back with a red carpet. It's like, come on,
open
Richie.
Arms.
Come on, my back.
Open arms.
But there's some guys you put yourself out in the portal. The new coaching staff comes in and says, oh, good, because we have some dudes that we were going to bring in, and now that he's in the portal, well, let's not sign him back out of the portal, right?
You don't be naive enough to know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's like 1,600 kids in the portal tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And you can get better. You know, there's programs, if they lose five or six guys here, they're going to have to get better. And we'll talk about personnel too, but I think a big piece is that what's Chandler going to do? We know Dawson Baker's going to be back, and if he's healthy.
And we're hearing from pretty good sources, Chandler's planning to come.
Yes.
Yeah. Regardless of whether Mark's here or not.
Right, right. And so that's good. And I think there's some others out there. There's been, you know, talk about Kozlowski and whether he's going to stay with USC, whether they're making changes.
He went to USC because he loves that coach.
Yes.
Now the coach isn't there.
Exactly.
And so all of a sudden it's like, wow, now I'm in the portal, and for a good reason, right? Yeah. And I think BYU has a chance to maybe get him back now.
Yeah, I do too. There's a safety net there that the NCAA provides that, hey, you put your name and you're never coming back. I mean, I have no reason to even think any ill will of anybody that puts their name in a portal when they make a coaching change.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Former BYU basketball coach Steve Cleveland's on the Wise Guys tonight as BYU searches for a new head basketball coach on a very busy news week in Cougar Nation. Darius Lassiter just came in. He's going to join us in a few minutes as we talk about the second run in the Big 12 for football. LJ Martin will join us a bit later. Let's talk about the hit list, the names that are floating around as to who might be the new coach at BYU. There's University of Utah assistant Chris Burgess, who's been an assistant at BYU. There's UNLV assistant coach Barrett Peary, who's been a head coach before. There's the winningest high school coach in Utah history, Quincy Lewis. I think he picked up his eighth or ninth state championship this past year. Mark Madsen said in a statement he's out. He's committed to Cal. And then you bring a new name into the group conversation.
Yeah, you were talking to us. We want to let you talk about that.
So who of this group is the most prepared to be the next head coach?
Before we drop into Kevin Young and what's happening there, I think Chris Burgess is the most prepared with a lifetime of basketball and where he's played and the impact he's had and what he's done. And the players loved him at BYU. Mm-hmm. They he had a good relationship with the players here. So there was never any ill will or bad blood. He goes to Utah. There were some issues within that staff that they struggled and challenged with. But at the end of the day, I just believe that Chris brings a pedigree as a player, as a coach. He's been at the University of Utah. He's been at BYU.
I think Chris started at Duke, right?
He did.
Yeah, he started at Duke.
He did. And so he's such a good fit here. He's such a good fit. And I, you know, he happens to be a good friend of mine. So there is a bias to that particular guy. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at this list, and he makes the most sense to me.
Cleve, have you ever, because I haven't, and we've been at this a long time, have you ever talked to anybody that doesn't like and respect Chris Burgess?
No.
I haven't either.
No, no. And I, you know, funny thing is, this year I went to 3 or 4 University of Utah games because of Chris.
Yeah.
And I went down and saw them play Arizona when Utah played them. And it was a funny story. That the president of the University of Utah is new there. Mm-hmm. And I'm... they got me good seats sitting there, and I'm kind of standing up clapping, you know. And he comes down to me, and he says, "Whoa, I never thought I'd see this." I said, "Hey, listen, I'm not a big Utah fan, but I'm a huge Chris Burgess fan."
Yeah.
And that's how that was. But
and now they got the place running well because it is a BYU guy that's running the U, right?
It is.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
Delightful.
Once they got a BYU football coach, and then Chris Burgess came down here for a little while, and now he's up there on the staff, and you have a president that's from BYU. Now the U's all straightened out. Everything's good.
President Randall's going to be on this show this summer.
Yeah.
Fantastic guy.
Yeah.
All right, Barrett Perry.
A seasoned coach, junior college, Division I head coach at Portland State. He's at UNLV. He has recruited the whole country. I mean, there's no rock that's gone unturned with him. I mean, he's been in the depths of recruiting like nobody. Today, it's a lot easier to recruit with the portal.
Yeah.
Back then, you got to go travel, get in a car, fly places you've never been. Mm-hmm. And when I think of Barrett Perry, I think of a guy that's just got a relentless pursuit of being the best he can be and helping a team. He is. You can trust Barrett Perry. That's. Well, all I need to say
is there a chance they could get both of those guys?
I could see some wisdom depending on, you know, the conversations that are had, but Barrett does bring something that he can go on the road, and certainly there's some head coaching experience that will help there. But I think the biggest thing for him is just go out and find great players. And Barrett knows what BYU is. He's been here. He's lived in the state. I think he'd be a great assistant coach. And Barrett's not listening to this, but the word got back to him. It's not that I don't think that Barrett could be a great head coach.
Right, right.
If they can hire Steve Cleveland out of a juke, they can take a guy like Barrett Perry who has way more going
Listen,
on.
Listen, we have a lot of followers in Vegas.
Yeah, there you go. And so I love Barrett. I consider him a friend, and I'm glad he's being considered to be part of this staff. I think, you know, Nick Robinson is someone that's been an assistant. He's really been good with the players.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how that plays out. I have had a couple conversations with Nick, and he's just in the mix of it like everybody else. But having someone that is connected to the guys is really important. You know, I don't care what the university, it's just BYU or USC or North Carolina or Cal State Bakersfield. If you're not connected to your guys, and I think that's one of the things, it's not that Nick can't coach. He's been doing this. He was a great player. But just speaking off the top of my head, here's another person I really respect, and I'd want my son to play for and be around.
Yeah, and now Cody Fugger's been Mark's right-hand man all along.
You're thinking he's going, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Nobody said this, but we're all like, how does Mark not take Cody to Kentucky with him? Because he's relied on him so much, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like me and Heath Schroyer at junior college, at Fresno State. Cody's really good.
Yes, he is.
I don't care if he had the pedigree that everybody else has. Mark trusts him. He's his good friend. I will be shocked if Cody is not there as his associate head coach.
And if for some reason he's not there, and I'm Chris or Barrett or any of these guys, I gobble him up and make him stay at BYU in a second. Yeah. Wouldn't you do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Cody is a huge piece in the success they found.
How about Quincy Lewis?
Well, you're talking about somebody that I've said this before publicly, but if, you know, I had a son or a grandson, and there was one coach, high school coach I had to pick, It'd be Quincy. I was telling Dave the other day that I shouldn't even be sharing this, but Quincy's daughter went with my grandson to a little formal thing, and my grandson's afraid of girls. But it's one of those things that, you know, I saw them and I just thought, I want my kids to play for Quincy.
Yeah, and Quincy wins all those games at Lone Peak, then he takes a little time, comes to BYU. He goes, as soon as he's the head guy at Lehigh, I told people, well, that it's not that long. They'll start winning state championships, and bam, it was his first year.
Anybody that thinks that because he's out of high school that he doesn't have the knowledge or depth or ability to coach and teach, they don't know anything about the game. Quincy Lewis could be on any staff in any university in this country and make a contribution. He has those kind of skill set. It may not be his time to be the head coach here, but
if you could get him to come be on your staff you'd be doing a good thing.
Be one of the first things I did.
Yep.
Couple more questions for former BYU head basketball coach Steve Cleveland before we get to Darius Lassiter on the Wise Guys. By the way, Glenn from the Philippines is in the house. So
there you go. We are all the Philippines over the place in the house.
Going here tonight.
Corey, don't leave me hanging here. Check in from Japan.
He might be still at the Masters.
That's true. He might be at the Masters.
No one took over a program in worse shape than you did. They were 1-25 before you came in. 4 years later, you had BYU back in the big dance. For the people thinking that the Titanic has gone down because Pope left, with the current program, what shape is this program in for whoever becomes a head coach this week?
I think number one, it starts with leadership and Tom Homo.
Yeah.
And Brian Santiago he's oversees the women and men's basketball, and he was there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So first of all, you got great leadership at the top. Number two, you have a fan base that is second to none in the world, okay, that just love this university and love their athletes. And then I think what you have here at BYU is something that, I don't know, I'm so connected to this place because of one thing, and that's the student athletes.
Yeah.
The ability to recruit here. They're always going to be able to get great. I mean, you bring a recruit into the doggone Marriott Center and spend 2 hours there watching the game and think, man, I want to be here. And I'm not talking about just LDS kids.
Right.
You know, and so I think the program is in a good position. I think you have to act quickly. I don't think you can sleep on this and, we're going to take another week to do this. I can't even imagine that happening. So they need to get a head coach. He needs to get a staff. And I remember doing that when I got the position as being a head coach. The first thing I did, I went to Hutch, where's the National Junior College, because that's where I knew people could play. I hadn't really recruited Division I athletes as a Duke recruit. I found guys that under rocks and, you know, that we knew they could play. And I went out there and spent a week out there just watching guys. And so there's a sense of urgency to get that roster done. And the first thing I do is I'm going to Brother Saunders, and I'm going to sell him on everything that I love about this place and everything I can do to help you. And you know what? We're going to increase that NIL money. Mm-hmm. Now, you may say, like, well, we're bribing kids to come play. If you don't get this, you've been asleep. You've been asleep.
Right.
Okay? NIL is real, and I'm not suggesting for a moment that we're just going to throw money here and there. But for the better players, you need to take care of them. Yeah. And whatever that is, I don't know, but you got to take care of
it. And Richie Saunders is one of the great glue guys in the country.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine this team not having him. And, you know, Nell's going to – he's a senior. He's been here for a long time. It sounds like Waterman might be coming back, which is a huge thing.
He got cleared. He got his clearance from the NCAA. He
Traore, can be back. You know, Foose is there.
Hey, talk in that microphone.
When you took over, it was 1-25.
Hey, talk in your microphone.
Yeah.
Sorry. So you're pro.
So you took this thing over 1-25. And you talk about going to find guys in JCs and under rocks. This is a different situation.
Way
than that,
different.
Right?
Way
so different.
Way different. That'll never happen again. And that whole experience will never happen again. But it was. And it was timely. And it was what was supposed to happen. And out of it came some great players, some great coaches, and really building a program now that, you know, we started this thing. Dave took it to a whole nother level. Yep. Mark did some wonderful things here. They're not done growing. I mean, they're in the Big 12. They got to keep getting good guys and good players and good coaches, but they took a little bit of a hiccup during those last couple WCC years.
Yeah,
but I think most important is this locker room and the chemistry of these guys and bringing the guys in that are new. That would be my highest priority. Is I know you can play. I want to make sure that you get along
that you fit
with Dave.
That you fit.
You got to be a fit here.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned like Dawson Baker's coming back from an injury, and he like they have a pretty good core of a roster. They had to add, they have to add a couple pieces, including you and I've talked about this. A bigger two,
yes,
that that can really compete in that league. Yeah. I'm talking like a 6'11", 7 foot guy, like everybody has.
Yeah.
But this is not the quite the rebuild project that you were faced with.
No. This program's in great shape administratively, collectively as a community. It's in great shape. Now this is a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to sleep on this. You got to jump right into this and get your guys and get on the road.
So what happens this week? What's your vision for this week?
I think a head coach is named in the next day or two.
Next day or two.
Yeah, I do. I why would you wait any longer?
Right.
Especially if you know who you want.
Yeah.
You know, if it's Kevin Young, is it?
Nobody, like you were educating us on Kevin Young a little bit, and he's in the mix. Tell everybody out there who Kevin Young is.
Well, he's the associate head coach for the Phoenix Suns. That's a pretty prominent position.
Yeah.
A team that's, you know, in the NBA. He started in with the Sixers, and there was some connections there, and he was an assistant coach there. He's somebody that most people don't know because he's in the league. And when you get in the league, you know, there's not a lot of talk about assistant
coaches.
Until
you're a head coach.
Yeah, right? Until you're a head coach. So I've never met Kevin. I know some people that do know him and that are high on him, and I'm sure he'd be a great head coach at the college level. I will say this, there will be a transition.
Mm-hmm.
He did coach at lower levels when he was younger as a coach, but he'd have to get used to it, but I know more than I had to get used to it with that experience. But he's so connected, and that's another thing that coaches sell to recruits. Hey, I was in the league for 8 years. I was associated.
I know what it takes to get there.
Yeah, and I can help you get there.
I know all the GMs. Yeah. I know. One confounding factor is he's a candidate for the head job with the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets.
And he also happens to be the highest paid assistant coach in the NBA.
Yes.
So there's a couple of things.
There's a few hurdles.
Hey, let's finish up with this because we're excited about Darius coming on.
Because Darius has a role in all of this because we would see Mark bring recruits to the big games at Lavelle Edwards Stadium when Darius is out there. And when they're bringing the house down and it's just crazy and they're winning big games, that helps recruit basketball players too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, it does.
We always wanted to go to those games. In fact, you might want to get a little NIL basketball money.
That's what they should give them, some basketball money.
Exactly. All the recruiting you're doing.
All right. Dave Rice is expected to be named as the head coach of Salt Lake Community College. Hasn't happened yet, but we understand it's going to happen. Yeah. How big of a deal is that for Slick?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And for Coach. You know, I mean, he gets his own team again. You know, he's got his own team, and that is a high level of basketball. I mean, most of the guys he'll coach.
They go to the finals every year, it seems.
Yeah, he's recruiting mostly Division I players. And so I think being in the community, being here, who doesn't love Coach?
He's one of my favorite people in the world, Dave Rice.
So humble.
And you would send, like, that's one of the ones you're saying, like, I would send my kids, grandkids to play for Dave Rice any day.
You know, just to tell you about Dave, I can remember recruiting and the mess I was dealing with. And Dave would go out of his way to come by and sit by me. And he'd say, thank you. Thank you for what you did. I want you to know it's greatly appreciated. And he didn't have to do that, you know. But that's the kind of man he is. And he always made me feel good. And when you're kind of feeling like, what's going on? He always had a hand on my shoulder. We'd see him in the summer, and he would always come up to me.
Such a good man. He played with some of the craziest people ever at UNLV on some of the best teams ever.
As a Rhodes Scholar.
UNLV.
He carried the team GPA.
Like, I would think about Dave. I'm like, one of these things is not like the others. Like, he's just. Yeah.
They loved him.
But he was such a leader on that group of crazy, talented, crazy people.
Yeah.
And he came out of there with just such character.
He's going to have a lot of fun. It's going to re-energize him.
Yeah, I'm going to really take a lot stronger.
He's going to come on the show. I've already texted him. He's going to come on the show once the dust settles.
I love seeing Dave.
Hey, will you promise to come back and we'll talk about all the dirt of the Tarkanian era from Fresno? That'll be on Story Night.
The Mafia Night.
Oh, yeah. We'll be careful.
We'll be careful.
We won't name names.
But we want to hear about. And we need to do a show with him where he can tell the story he told us about how meeting with the NCAA and how they were on the verge of the death penalty. So we're going to give you a teaser on that, and Dave's going to come back.
That'll be a summer tease.
And we're going to have a show where we talk about how Steve Cleveland single-handedly kept Fresno from the death penalty.
Good. I appreciate it. It's great being with you guys. I will one little shout out. One thing I'm doing right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is I'm going around and speaking to stakes and young men and young women. Well, I say I've just started, but I've got a little book that I'm working on. Not I don't even, I think it'll be for my family, but it's called Touch All the Lines.
You hinted on it last time.
Yeah.
And
is the book done yet?
No. But what I'm doing right now is I hope to go out 2 or 3 times a month and meet with young single adults, young men, young women. We've done a couple of them. It's been fun. I've got a great partner and producer, Jeff Allen, whose dad was over the missionary department for years. And Jeff has really been helpful to me with images and things. So I'm excited. It's something that I can
How can folks get a hold of you guys?
You know what? Probably right now we'll make ourselves more available, but it's because we're not prepared for that.
Okay.
I'm doing most of the contacts with stake presidents myself.
Let us know. We'll put it on our stream.
Yeah. I will.
You don't have to be on here for us to talk about it. Whenever it's ready, we'll talk about it. But we'll have you come back on. We'll talk about that. Yeah. And the whole Fresno State experience.
That'd be cool.
And if BYU hired the right guy, we'll also have
you back. We'll do that, too.
The answer to that is going to be yes.
Okay.
Great Steve Cleveland, former head coach at BYU.
Thanks, Cleve. So good to see you.
Our longtime friend. Great stories. Great insight on the candidates for this job. Did you hear Steve Wright? He thought maybe tomorrow or the next day.
I hope it's within the next 2 days because they got to do that, and then they got to secure the roster as fast as possible.
We're gonna hold you to that, coach.
Good deal.
Hey, let's shift to some football. The transfer portal opens tomorrow, closes again on April 30th. The BYU Fan Fest is coming up next week.
Right, April 27th.
Is that next week or is it in 2 weeks?
That's
April 27th.
What is today?
Today's the 15th. It's tax day.
I don't know. Cleve, what's today? That's right. It's tax
the 15th.
Day.
So it's on the 27th, so it's coming up.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
So, I don't pay any taxes. So.
I know you don't. And eventually they're going to find you. But Michael Johansson from the Alumni Association is going to be here to talk about that. Are you going down to Texas?
I'm doing the one in Arizona.
All right, let's bring you in.
Come on in, Darius.
After you're done with the meet and greet with Steve.
Yeah, meet Coach Cleveland. But, the Fan Fest is from 11 to 1 at Josie Ranch Athletic Complex in Dallas. Sports Nation's going to be there, along with a bunch of the coaches. They have players that have been picked out. Darius just mentioned he's going to the Arizona one. Cosmo will be there. The BYU store is going to have big things set up there, food trucks.
That's a chance, I believe, my book will also be available there with the BYU store group.
There you go.
But it should be a pretty cool thing. And it'll be indoors, which is even better.
And it's a preview to get the fans ready to roll because, remember, BYU's going to be back in Dallas to take on SMU on Friday, September 6th.
Yeah.
So they'll be there.
Sell a lot of tickets.
Oh, yeah. It needs to be. That's kind of a fun stadium. Have you ever been in their new stadium on campus?
No, I've flown over it, but I've never been in it.
Yeah, just up kind of in Highland Park there. And it's a bowl, all chairs. It's a great stadium for watching football.
It's going to be rocking on a Friday night.
And I think it's a BYU takeover that weekend.
ESPN. Right? The thing is, they're in the top 25, and we're going to have to get some guys out of their seats.
You're supposed to schedule easy to start when you're playing in the Big 12. SMU's not easy.
No.
It's an ACC team now with a lot of history. So.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Our next guest is right here and ready to go, getting ready for his second and final season catching passes at BYU. The Eastern Michigan transfer delivered 2 of the best catches of the season in college football. Pleasure to welcome Darius Lassiter to the Wise Guys. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Did you enjoy our green room? We had to have Coach Cleveland on because you guys are trying to find a new basketball coach.
Yeah, I definitely like it in here. I kind of was blown away when I was pulling up. So I was like, this is where we're doing it?
We tell people.
It's hidden.
It's a hidden, special, super secret location because, you know, for safety reasons. But, and everybody pulls up and then they come in and like, hey, there actually is a studio in there.
Yeah,
right.
I was surprised. I was like, where are we going to do this at?
Well, we're glad to have you here. Did you play hoops in high school?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
So you could help the team out if they lost too many guys to the portal?
Yeah, if you need me, I can suit up.
You can do this.
Yeah, after football season's over.
We were having a conversation. Right. Who was it that we had on here? One of the defensive coaches. I can't remember if we had Jay on. It might have been Jay. It was either Jay Hill or I can't remember if it was Jay or Sione or if it was
Justin Anna. They've all been on.
But we said, who on the basketball team would win a dunk contest? And your name came up. They're like, we think Darius might win the dunk contest.
That's an excellent choice.
That's right. We did pick you.
Now that Nick Billis is off the team, I think it's either going to be between me or JoJo or Kevin Doe. So
JoJo can get up?
Yeah, JoJo can get up.
Okay.
All right. So, that would be a great.
Yeah. So we said, okay, based on that, we're going to go with Derek. We went with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So great for Slam Dunk.
I'm not mad at it.
Okay, good. Good,
how excited are you for August 31st to get going again?
I'm super excited. Just our first year in the Big 12, it's a lot of things that we wanted to do that we didn't accomplish, and then a lot of good things that we can build on from last year. Both quarterbacks coming in, trying to battle. So just being there for them, both of them. So letting them know they got a guy that they can rely on. I'm excited. Everybody's excited to get back out there and show what we can really do as an offense. We didn't have the year we wanted or expected to have. Obviously, the run game's definitely looking a lot better. The pass game's looking a lot better from the spring. So yeah. Everybody's excited, ready to go. Wait for summer workouts to be over and then get ready for fall camp.
You know, one of my is I went to spring ball and watched practices. Thing that jumped out to me was how deep the wide receiver room is. Like, you guys have multiple talented receivers out there, which always helps the new quarterback, right? Yeah. Young quarterback. So talk about that receiver group and what you like most about that group.
Yeah, well, we returned to everybody from last year besides Keanu. Him moving to the tight end room, that's going to be a big help for us.
You guys booted him right out, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
We had a vote, he was out.
Yeah, we couldn't wait to get him out the room.
Yeah, more wide receiver balls for Darius, yeah, obviously. Yeah. So.
But, yeah, everybody's excited. Everybody's ready to go. Chase coming back, him being a leading receiver from last year. Everybody expected him to come back. Not too many people. We was kind of worried about me coming back with my waiver and all that. But once we got that, everybody's excited. I was ready to go. Having Cody fully healthy this season is going to be big for us. Parker, having him as well, he stepped up and made some plays last year. It was probably more that he wanted to make out there. Keelan Marin as well. And then JoJo. JoJo's had an excellent spring.
Right.
To me, he just it's like the game slowing down for him now. Last year, once he was getting out there, you can kind of tell, like, okay, he kind of still had a high school mindset, but he's picking up on the playbook well.
Do you think it changed when he got his head taken off at Kansas? Was that when do you think he realized, I'm not in Kansas anymore and I'm not in high school anymore?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that was an eye-awakening for Parker. I mean, everybody has a head like that. I done had a few like that myself. So yeah. I feel like he's ready to go. He's ready to prove himself. I know he's definitely waiting for that Kansas game to get.
I'll bet he is. Back. So are you.
Yeah. Is JoJo going to be the – and he's another really long receiver with a big catch radius. Yeah. We have a bunch of those in the in the receiver room. Is he, in your opinion, in the wide receiver group this in spring, who's made the most progress? Like, people are going to go, whoa, where'd this guy come from?
I feel like – I definitely feel like he's someone up there that's that's the top three that's been making the most plays in the spring.
Really?
Yeah, him, me, myself, and Chase. We had a lot of guys that was injured, so we couldn't really go a lot of 11 personnel like we wanted to. And another big emphasis for us was to emphasize the run this spring and be able to get that back going. So, but when the opportunities came to JoJo, he made the most of them, and I can't wait to see what he do this season.
So. I was asking Chase, and I was giving him a little bit of a hard time. Like, did he do nothing but preacher curls all summer? Like, he comes back, I'm like, dude, are you Arnold Schwarzenegger? He got big.
Yeah, no, Chase definitely got jacked. I think he's weighing like 215 now, but he hasn't lost a step. So that's great when you can build up mass like that and not lose a step in your game. You feel comfortable running around in that. That's great, and we need that because in the Big 12, you play a lot of physical defenses, bigger guys. We're told to go down there and go crack linebackers. Yeah. Sometimes we got to go hit DNs based on assignments and things like that. So having that physicality is going to help.
BYU receiver Darius Lassiter is on the Wise Guys tonight, live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and YSGuys.com. Caught 29 passes for 365 yards and 4 touchdowns in his Provo debut. I'm going to ask LJ. We'll ask LJ this question too in a few minutes. But
yeah, LJ's in the green room now. Hey, LJ,
good to have you here. This isn't your first year now, right? The adjustment period is over. So, what do you anticipate when you take the field in August and play this Big 12 schedule, now that you've been there and done that, how different will that be for you?
Yeah, I feel like for me, I know I've been in college a while, but it's different from being in the MAC and then coming to the Big 12. You definitely can tell the difference. So my biggest thing is just learning the offense. And
right. I mean, even the playbook is now you know it as opposed to you're learning it.
Yeah,
right?
I was still in the learning phase last season, so now I know all the nuances of what the offense is, what it's supposed to look like. I know coverages is easier now to read coverages. If a linebacker does this, I got to go help there. So it's a lot of little things that I didn't pick up quick enough like I should have when I first got here. But now having a year and then the spring under my belt, I feel like everything's just moving slower for me, and then everything is coming together.
You know, you mentioned earlier you had a couple quarterbacks battling for that quarterback job. Jake Retzlaff, who started some games at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And then Gary Bohannon, who transferred in. Big 12 champ Gary Bohannon, yeah. a few years back. We're not gonna say, hey, who's better? You don't have to take sides, but...
But we are going to ask you two questions.
Yeah, so sort of say, like, they're each of their skill sets a little bit different.
Yeah.
So if Jake is the guy, you know, what would be the reason that Jake ends up being the guy, and what would we look for if Jake ends up being the guy? And then we'll ask you the same thing about Gary.
Okay. For Jake, I feel like just the game slowing down for him. Last year, he kind of just got... When Keaton went down, he kind of got thrown in the fire. So it's different at the quarterback position than receiver. I don't have people running at me, trying to tackle me. And then just not him, just him taking care of the ball. I feel like that's another thing that's going to help him win the spot. I'm pretty sure he went this whole spring without throwing an interception.
Yeah, he didn't throw a pick the whole spring. Aaron mentioned that at the end of spring. Couple of balls on the ground.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah,
of course. Balls. LJ never dropped any balls on the ground.
He might have had a drop or two or something like that.
You'll get your time.
The good thing is you're second, LJ, so you can discredit any of this stuff, and you get the last word.
So then finish the next sentence. That Gary should be the starter on August 31st because...
Yeah, what would he have done if he's the guy?
I feel like he has to really learn the offense and really pick up on it. This offense is not easy to learn in a semester. So now having the summer to go through and then the fall camp. So once everything starts clicking and then he like, okay, this person's going to be here. This person's going to be there. Once the O-line does something like this, he knows the checks to make and things like that for the O-line to help them. I feel like that's going to be a big step for him to take in that spot.
What's his biggest strength? What's Gary's biggest strength?
Gary's so good, like keeping the play alive for so long. Because his ability to run, we kind of didn't really have that last year with Keaton. Just because, like, run-wise, and he's more of a pocket passer, and he no knock to Keaton, but he makes great throws. But also, there's a lot of times where you could have probably took off and run and save some stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't an option in the offense last year.
Now, Connor Pay sat right in this chair, Darius, and he said not an issue this year.
Yeah.
He says the offensive line is going to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
He told us they're going to be much improved.
We're going to ask you about that too.
DLJ will have a good opinion on that. But he says that Connor says the offensive line is going to be significantly better this fall.
And I believe it's a different intensity and physicality that the offensive line is playing in there with Coach Woods now.
Yeah.
What he demands out of them is excellence. And regardless, I know everybody's not perfect, but that's what he wants them to strive for, and so that's what they've been doing this whole spring. You can definitely tell that they got physical, bigger, stronger. Everybody's moving better with their feet. So,
well, Coach Woods was sitting right there.
Yeah, he came and talked to us too last week.
But
yeah,
Gary was here about a few weeks before spring practice.
Yeah,
and we were just so impressed with his leadership. But then we were stunned by when he told us he enjoyed eating snapping turtle as a kid growing up. we're like, what?
That explains some stuff of why he's just a little bit like,
Yeah, I didn't know that. I don't even know what snapping turtles is.
Yeah, as he said.
We said, don't tell us it tastes like chicken. He goes, well, it does. It tastes like chicken.
But he looked, he was so excited to be here. And then we spent time with Jake as well. And it'll be an interesting battle. How tough was it for the offense when Keaton got hurt early and then got knocked out against Texas? You're 5-2 coming home from the Texas game and finished 5-7. But that jolt to the offense right there, what did it do to everybody?
Yeah, it kind of when you lose your leader, your captain of the offense, somebody that runs everything, it hurts most definitely. A lot of people might say, okay, well, Keaton wasn't the guy. He didn't know how to run the offense, but he did. He knew the offense very well. He knew what he needed to do. He knew where players were going to be before they broke on the ball. So it definitely hurt losing him, having his shoulder or his elbow, whatever it was that happened to him. So when you lose your quarterback, a lot of your offense is built around him. because he manages everything, regardless in the run or the pass. It starts with him.
And now the latest from the NFL is that he may go get drafted.
He had phenomenal workouts.
Phenomenal workouts. I'm proud of him.
He'll be the third straight draftee from BYU at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, BYU knows how to produce the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Hey, we've been teasing LJ over in the green room, so LJ Martin coming on here in a minute.
Let's make him squirm here for a second.
How important is it for LJ in that running game to be improved this fall? And how does that run game help the pass game?
Yeah, I mean, when you can run a ball, it definitely keeps the offense or the defense guessing, not knowing what you're going to do. You can run a lot of play actions, and that's what we want to do. We want to get in the center, play action the ball, and take our shots deep. And just having LJ jump into the fire last year after losing Hinkley, Aiden for some games, and he stepped up and made a lot of good runs for us. So I definitely believe he's going to take that next stride. He had a great spring. And so now having Coach Woods, I feel like his productivity is going to go even more up through the charts. So the sky's the limit for LJ if he can stay healthy.
Very good.
Wide receiver Darius Laster on the Wise Guys, 6'3", 205, or are we about
I'm 210 now.
210.
Because I didn't mention that Darius also looks bigger out there.
Yeah.
But Darius was already kind of jacked, and now I feel like Chase felt like he had to outdo him.
Yeah, he's been working on it.
Yeah.
Chandler, Arizona. This fall, you'll face both Arizona schools, Arizona in Provo, Arizona State in Tempe. How much fun will that be?
It's definitely going to be fun, especially the ASU game. I get to go out there and play them and beat them again. I did that when I was at EMU.
Oh,
so, nice. How many Lasters will be at that game?
Last time, it was definitely a lot. Everybody knew who family that was when we were playing. So, most of my family is going to be out there.
That'll be great. Now, it'll be November when it's cold up here and you're playing sunshine down there. That's going to be a big night.
We wanted to reminisce with you a little bit. We want to take you through your three big catches that you had last year and get your thoughts and remembering them. Let's start with this one. The touchdown catch at Kansas with your brother in the KU secondary, your family's in the stands, you're playing where your late father played his college ball. Tell us a little bit about how that felt.
It was a great experience. It was definitely emotional. Just being somewhere where my dad played, my brothers both played, having my mom there with the split jersey kind of brought back a little more emotions than I thought it was going to. And then just having my family out there, it was nothing but a great experience on both sides, win or lose, even though I wanted to win bad so I can have that bragging rights over Quentin. But, just having that opportunity to go out there, both me and him, it's kind of something we always wanted to do, whether we was on the same team or opposite. And we had that opportunity.
How about the one-hander against Texas Tech right in front of their bench, which made it even all the more sweeter? I believe that was Sports Center number 2 or 3.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
How many times did you relive that in your head?
It kind of was like, not to be like somebody like, oh, he always does this, but I kind of do that a lot at practice.
Sure.
So, it kind of wasn't surprising to me, but it's also you never do that in games like that. So to do it in that game, in that situation, it kind of was just my hand kind of just moved on its own and just wanted to make a play, get moving the offense. Defense was playing great. So we wanted to go out there, put points on the board, and anytime the ball's in the air, I feel like it should be supposed to be mine.
Well, you did get a touchdown later in that drive.
Yeah.
So you got the highlight, and then you got the touchdown.
that was awesome. How about the 47-yard bomb against Texas? That was the longest reception of the season.
It was like Lynn Swann out there.
Yeah,
that was definitely my favorite catch of the season. I like that catch more than the one-hand catch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Because you kind of never just catch over two people like that. I kind of felt like I was in the air forever when the ball was in the air. So
was it in slow motion?
Yeah, it kind of felt like slow motion. Then once I hit the ground, I was like, oh, I still got it. So, that was great. And Texas atmosphere was amazing, too. It was 90,000 or whatever it was in there. So doing it in front of everybody, you kind of can see the reactions from the Texas sideline and their fans. So
the highlights were all the camera angles. The more camera angles they showed, the tougher the catch
was. Yeah, the better the catch looked. Exactly.
So you got that for the ages.
Yeah.
Your kids will see that someday and they'll go, really, Dad, is that you?
Yeah, I hope they get to bragging at school.
The Royal Blue Collective has been a big part of everybody's life in the football program throughout the athletic department. How has it been working for you? How important is it?
It's been good because when I came here, I wasn't necessarily looking for money and things like that. But I was just looking for more of an opportunity just to play. But having them around, it definitely helps, especially being college athletes. It's a lot of things that are expensive and a lot of things that your parents just don't pay for no more. So having the opportunity to have them looking out for us, taking care of everybody on the team and situations, they even took care of walk-ons. And that's not a lot of things. You don't see that at a lot of places. Right. And so just having them really caring about everybody on the team, whether you're the number one guy on the team where everybody knows you or you're assembly just a walk-on just coming here just for a shot and opportunity.
You know, you talk about Royal Blue and NIL and all that. How important is that moving forward? You heard Coach Cleveland sit here and say, you need to tell basketball, Darius, to give you money because you're part of the recruiting. And he mentioned how important it is for BYU to kind of reassemble this team. How important is Royal Blue moving forward for BYU as a program?
I feel like, not just for our school, but just for anybody just to stay in the competition. A lot of just where the way the game is now, a lot of kids is kind of looking for that, for the money. And that's just how you're going to get a lot of people nowadays, whether it's the high schoolers or get people just to stay. Kids are starting to know their worth and how much they bring to the table. So it's kind of like they kind of get to dictate whether they're going to stay or go. So I feel like it's big for us, especially being like a school that's held to a different standard. You gotta retain the players. So then,
and is it good enough?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the big question right now. It's not deficient, but it's good enough.
Yeah, it's definitely it's more than good enough. Yeah,
really, that's great. All right, before we get you to five questions and we get you out and get LJ in, first play of the game, either you going deep, are you going to run the fly and just say Jake or Gary, put it up there and I'll bring it out.
Or
is LJ going to get the carry and hog most of the night?
I hope we start the game off throwing the ball. LJ get enough carries already. So you only get a certain amount of receptions in the game. He probably get about 20 something carries. So
he better, right?
He can share the love.
And one other before the fight, are you the kind of receiver that I played with that comes back to the huddle and would keep telling me they were wide open? Like they're like, dude, I'm open. Like every play. Do you go back and tell the quarterback I'm open? Like I'm open every play.
I wouldn't tell him like, say we're on a drive or something. I wouldn't say it like that, but when we come to the sideline, I go over a play that say he went to somebody else and we had an incompletion or something. I'd be like, hey, we go back to that. You know where to find me. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be there to make that play for you.
Have you ever said to the quarterback, hey, dude, they're playing a lot of man, and this guy cannot cover me?
Yeah, I told Keaton that a couple of times.
Did you?
A couple of times last year, for sure.
You have to.
I love that.
He doesn't know. You're back into the huddle. But Blaine's receivers always told him, every one of them told him they're wide open.
I'm open
all
every
time.
Play. I'm like, everybody can't be open on every play, guys. Come on.
Yeah, regardless, there's two or three people out there. I feel like.
I have three NFL guys with me.
Yeah.
We're open every play, dude. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, somebody, me, Chase, or somebody.
So, but I do remember, and I love receivers that come back and say, if it's man, cannot cover me.
Yeah.
So I'm here for you. I love that.
Five questions for Darius Lassiter here on the Wise Guys.
And these, you're just supposed to, whatever pops into your head.
All right.
Because it's how we get to know you a little better. Your favorite sports movie?
LJ, these questions are coming at you later.
Pay attention, LJ. So.
Glory Road.
Glory Road. Yeah. Have we had that one? I think we've had that one once before. I feel like the number one of all time on the show is probably Remember the Titans, right?
That's a pretty good one.
So
that's close.
Okay. Favorite singer or band?
Favorite singer, probably Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, all right.
Okay. We're documenting these.
Wait, who did we have last? Oh, we had our two baseball players from Maui on last week.
Kahio Aloy and the Keone Painter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they threw out some bands. I'm like, what?
They threw out island bands.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, we don't know the islands.
And I was like, what are they? And they go, well, they're kind of like reggae hip hop island. I go, oh.
Okay. I don't know what channel that is on the dial.
I don't know those bands.
But then TJ said, yeah, I know those bands.
Yeah. No,
Coach? I was like, go Coach. He's hip.
Hey, Coach TJ, he surprises me.
Yeah.
Definitely how he comes in the locker room. He had nice kicks on. He listened to the music we listened to. So he surprised me.
So he went like, he's like, yeah, I know the two bands. I don't know that one, but I know those two. And I was like, wow, TJ, okay.
Yeah.
So your favorite breakfast cereal?
Frosted Flakes.
That's a classic.
I had
some this morning.
I debated between Frosted Flakes and Cinnamon Toast. Not Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cinnamon Life. To eat right before I came to the show. I did Cinnamon Life. Next time I'm going to choose Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, I don't think I ever heard of Cinnamon Life, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch is definitely up there.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
We've got our live streamers on from all over the world tonight. And let's see, BYU Sports Addict. I remember seeing your mom in the split jersey in the Kansas game. And Kent says, Darius Lasser, one of my favorite players, which is not a knock on LJ.
I appreciate
Darius
that.
Darius is getting that's his nice. Time. But you got a lot of fans.
LJ. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay, here's question four for you. Your favorite football moment. Doesn't have to be at BYU. Favorite football moment ever.
I'll probably say just my first collegiate touchdown when I was at JUCO.
Oh. Do you remember who it was against?
It was against Independence.
Okay.
Was it phenomenal or was it a two-yard out?
No, I think it was like a 60-yard bomb or something.
Okay. Oh, that's right. That makes it memorable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
And the last one, your favorite thing about BYU?
I just love how much of a family environment it is. Guys really caring for each other. You don't get that everywhere. Coaches really reach out to you, whether it's you're in a good mood or say things is not going right in your life. They reach out. They show that they care. And that's something that a lot of college athletes need. You're far away from your families. So having somebody that you know that say, okay, I care for you and I'm going to be here for you regardless of the situation.
Awesome. Great answer. Stuff. Hey, we'll let you get back to the green room. We'll get LJ
make
in
sure
and we'll
talk
say, to you a little
in
bit.
In workout, say hey to my favorite BYU coach, Coach Gavin Fowler, my youngest son.
I got you.
Yeah. Did you know that? Gavin's my youngest son.
Really?
Yeah, Coach Fowler, yeah.
That's crazy. I did not know
that.
That's because Blaine looks so young.
Yeah.
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 I thought you was 29.
You thought Gavin... No, Gavin's 29.
Yeah, I thought you were.
No, you're the nicest. That's it.
You can get back
Darius
on the show
the
anytime.
Darius is the best guest that's ever been on the show.
Darius Lasser. All right. Darius, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Darius.
Hey, next week on the show, Matt Bushman, Brandon Doman, and Michael Johansson. How about that lineup?
Yeah, that's big
That's
time.
Coming up next week. On April 29th, the end of the month, Lee Johnson will be here, NFL punter, and now one of the guys helping to raise money for the athletic department. Jim Evans will be here May 6th of America's Freedom Festival in Stadium of Fire. We'll talk about the festivities that set Provo apart.
They
start like a few weeks before the 4th of July.
Yeah, and are you talking about the very event where you knew ahead of time who the band was going to be, that it was the Jonas Brothers, but you wouldn't share it on this show and give us a scoop?
My street cred with Jim will go up when you tell him that story because he told me, hey, don't tell anybody. And then May 13th, Brandon Fugel will be here. And he's, I think, developing half the valley.
Yeah.
And so we'll have some great stories to share over the next few weeks. Let's bring in our next guest. He's expected to carry the load at running back this fall. During his freshman season, he ran for a team-high 518 yards and 4 touchdowns. His sophomore season begins in August. It's our pleasure to welcome LJ Martin to the Wise Guys, and Darius is listening closely now because, you know, you had a chance to listen to him. Now he's got a chance
He just wants to make sure that he doesn't contradict anything that Darius said.
It's great to have you here.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys for having me.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. How was year one now that you get ready for year two and you're older, wiser, and far removed from high school?
Yeah, year one was really fun for me. You know, just going out there, being able to play, and, you know, just to get to know the guys was really fun.
You know, Darius mentioned that a couple injuries early on, the next thing you know, you're in there. When you came, did you expect, man, as a freshman, I'm going to have to carry the load right away? Was that your expectation or was that a surprise to you?
No. When I signed, you know, looking at the other guys they signed, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll probably redshirt this year, you know,
right.
Not really taking it. I wouldn't say serious, but, you know, probably like won't have a chance to play. And then I get into camp and, you know, like, I'm out there with the threes and stuff, you know, like not getting no real reps. And then like, oh, you've been doing well, you know, and then they just keep on saying it, keep on saying it. And I kept on getting moved up the depth chart. And then next thing you know, I'm out there actually on the field.
So when the coaches say, just work and we're going to play the best guys, that's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my dad always told me the work works, you know, so no matter what, if you're the last guy, the first guy, you always got to work because other people are working too. So, you know, that's something I always try to do, just outwork anyone. And, you know, last year I was able to show that the work works, you know, going out there, making a couple plays in front of bigger guys, stronger guys and stuff like that.
So you're in your first fall camp. At what point do you realize that Aiden Robbins has a broken rib and he's going to try to play, but you know, you can't play with a broken rib. So you're basically the starter the second game of the season against Southern Utah. So in camp, when did you know that, hey, that showtime is just around the corner for you?
I actually didn't know. I would say like the first scrimmage was when I was like, okay, I feel like I could play here.
Yeah.
That was like the first time ever going live in front of like those guys, you know, because, you know, coming out of high school, I just thought they were going to be like super big, super strong, which they are. But like, I was like, I guess I kind of belong here, you know. So just going through that first scrimmage because they rested Aiden, rested Hinkley. So I was able to go out there, get reps with the ones, and I was able to do pretty well. Scored like a touchdown in that scrimmage too. So like I was really excited after that.
Hinkley goes down. Then Robbins breaks his rib there in the last couple of weeks. And you're ready to play Division I football. What was the moment? Was there a hit? Was there a run where you're out on the field in games and you go, oh my goodness, I'm playing Division I football in front of 65,000 people?
Honestly, it never really hit me because the day before the game, coach was like, yeah, I'm going to give the bulk to Aiden and Dion, and then you'll come in some. I'll give you like the fourth drive. I think Aiden was going to get the first two. Dion was going to get the third.
Yeah.
I was going to get the fourth. The fourth drive comes around, and I don't get in. So I was just like there waiting. I was like, I probably won't get in today. Like, no big deal, you know. But I was just happy to be out there, like in front of the fans and stuff, you know, just actually being on a Division I football field. And then next thing I know, I'm in third quarter and then I'm running the ball. So that was like surreal to me.
What's the feeling when they say, LJ, you're in?
You get really nervous. So I was back there and we're looking at the signals, but I don't trust myself with the signals because I was still learning them.
Yeah.
So I'm out there asking Keaton. I'm like, hey, Keaton, can you repeat the play for me? You know, just to make sure I'm doing the right thing. So I just ran three fakes and then came back out. And then it was nothing. So
at what point, so you recognize, hey, I can play with these guys in a scrimmage. Now you're out there playing. At what point in the season last year did you recognize, not only can I play at this level, I can be pretty good. I belong out here with these guys in the Big 12. When did that hit you?
I would say it was Arkansas, you know, just going down there, like all preseason, that was like kind of a game I was looking at, like, oh, that would be fun, you know, just being at SEC Stadium, you know. I didn't expect to play in it, but I was just like, just being on the field, you know, just watching it, it'll be pretty cool and stuff like that. And then actually getting out there playing and then making a couple big runs and stuff like that. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Like, I actually belong out here.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that touchdown run here in a couple of minutes.
Yes, we are.
Your journey to Provo is one that starts with your parents at work in El Paso. And then a coworker suggests, who is a BYU alum, hey, you should have LJ check out the Cougars.
Mm-hmm.
And then that starts a process that brings you here. How random is that?
Yeah, that was really random because, like, he said that, and then, like, the day after, I get a text from Coach McDaniel Tyson, and he's like, hey, are you interested in BYU? And then I'm like, you know, I hear about it. Like, I watch the games. I watch Tyler Algier a lot, actually.
Yeah.
You know, my first game watching him, I think, was when he had that chase down, the fumble.
Oh, against Arizona State?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad paused the TV. He's like, come here, look. You know, you got to watch this. Like, this guy's amazing, right? I'm like, yeah, he's pretty good, right? So I always just
think pretty good. That's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. And then he had another coworker that's, like, a super big fan. He's like, yeah, you got to tell your son to watch Tyler Algier. You know, like, this dude's awesome, right? So, yeah, we would always end up watching him, but yeah.
Were you aware of Jamal Williams as well?
No, I didn't know he came to BYU. I wasn't. I would say around 2019 is when I started really watching like college football.
Uh-huh.
Started paying attention.
So, yeah, we were thinking BYU is – we talk about quarterback you, but in terms of running backs, Jamal Williams was led the league in touchdowns 2 years ago. Tyler Algier was a 1,000-yard rusher as a rookie in the league. They produced some big running backs in the last couple of years, and now here you are with a chance to put your mark. Does that – Does that history mean anything to you? And did that play into your decision to come?
Yes, it definitely did. You know, just knowing Coach Harvey, like, and knowing that he was able to put two running backs in the league, you know, help coach them and stuff like that. I was like, okay, this is a place where, you know, the league's an actual possibility, you know, because you go other places and they have good running back coaches, but sometimes, you know, they don't have no one that's in the league, or like they've never put no one in the league. So, you know, they might not know what it takes, or they don't know how to get there. And then Coach Harvey actually going there himself, like,
right,
you know, this guy could actually take me there.
Well, think about it. You've got you got Jamal, then you've got Algier, and then you've got Chris Brooks, and Aiden Robbins is now trying. That'd be four in a row, basically four in a row. And then here comes you with four coattails to help you in.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the plan, hopefully.
And frankly, if Taysom decided to just play running back, he might be the best. Yeah, he'll probably he could pretty much do whatever he wants, right?
Isn't it the example?
BYU running back L.J. Martin on the Wise Guys. In addition to his team-high 518 yards rushing, he caught 11 passes for 45 yards and another touchdown during that freshman season. You ran it about 205 to go along with your 6'2 frame.
Is that right? Were you 205 last year?
Yes.
How much bigger do you want to be August 31st? What weight are you looking for?
I'm trying to stay at 225.
225?
Yeah, that's where I got up to pretty quickly, and I feel like I could just stay here.
So you're up 20 from last year.
And so you're up 20 and maintain the same speed, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, I actually feel a little bit faster. You know, the coach, the strength and conditioning staff, they've been doing a good job working with me and stuff like that.
Darius, Skyler, is he faster?
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's hard to say faster.
now, if he said I'm even more punishing, you would have been okay with that, right? Yeah,
we tease him all the time about being fast.
Yeah. Well, you let these guys give you crap about being fast?
It's because they don't understand. They don't understand.
Receivers, yeah, it's a different.
Exactly. They get all that open space, don't have to do nothing. You know, just catch the ball, go straight.
Yeah, just go straight.
You know, we got to make a couple more cuts and then, you know, pick up speed.
Chase
speed,
linebacker. Pick up speed. Oh, yeah, you got a tough. You got a tough job.
Watching spring ball, especially in the first half of spring ball, watching Hinkley and you running downhill, in my mind I'm thinking, oh, some defenses by the third and fourth quarter this year are going to go, oh, these guys, I don't want to tackle these guys anymore. Is that the idea of getting the weight up to 225? Because that backfield is punishing right now.
That and, you know, I just felt like, coming in, I was a freshman, and, you know, I just want to get bigger and stronger. So I felt like putting on some weight will help me do that.
Offensive line coach T.J. Woods was on Wise Guys last week, and we sat right there, and we said, hey, what question do you want us to ask L.J.?
Yeah.
And he said, well, here's what I'd like to ask him. Quote, do you know how to use your big weapon?
Yeah, he always talks about my stiff arm.
Is that what it is?
Well, he didn't tell us. He just said, ask him about his big weapon.
Yeah, he's always talking about my stiff arm just because he wants me to use it more. Because I used to use it a lot in high school, but now, like, guys are bigger and stuff, so I just kind of, like, give them a shoulder and they bounce off. Like, you know, Coach Harvey always talks about having low pad level because then it's harder to wrap up, like, your whole body compared to the stiff arm, because I feel like sometimes when you stiff arm, you give them your whole body.
And can they just, are you worried they'll just grab your arm and hang on?
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. But, yeah, I started using it more, especially once he came around. He started telling me to use it more.
So that's the big weapon. So on August 31st, we're anticipate
look for
the
it.
Big weapon.
We're going to look for the big weapon.
Yeah,
we might even call it the big weapon when he uses it in one of our broadcasts.
The big weapon. We were wondering, and he was pretty proud of that question. He's like, ask him about that.
Speaking of TJ and the offensive line, what are you seeing? We talked to Darius about it a little bit. What are you seeing from this offensive line as a guy that's running behind it in spring ball that has you optimistic for this fall?
Yeah, I feel like they're just more efficient and just like more – they just have more juice to them. You know, I feel like last year they were kind of a little bit dead, you know, like – but now they're always on track, like always know what they're doing and just, you know, always get into their places. And it's a lot easier to read the combo blocks, stuff like that. There's times where I'm going untouched through the hole, which really helps a lot.
Yeah, Coach and others have mentioned that, like – everybody's made a step forward, but he mentioned Caleb Edine and said, yeah, he's really improved. And that's a big dude. That's one of the biggest humans I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen in his game that's improved? Because he's going to be an important part of opening up holes for you up there.
Yeah, I've seen it with the whole line, you know, just having Coach Woods, he's taking them to the next level, I feel like. And, you know, they've all been making plays. You know, I always knew that they had the ability to. And then especially seeing it this year in spring, you know, I'm able to see the holes really opening and up and things like that.
Yeah, well, we're excited about that. Coming in as a two-time Class 5A Texas MVP, L.J. Martin, get ready for his second season. Let's talk about three of your biggest runs.
Yeah.
And we'll relive them. Only but through words. And you mentioned Arkansas, the 45-yard touchdown against Arkansas. You're not in El Paso anymore, and there aren't high school kids trying to tackle you. These are SEC guys.
And contrary to what Darius is saying over there, it seemed like you had some speed on that
one. You broke through that line. Walk us through what happened.
Just like the couple series before, you know, we weren't getting nothing, you know, and just being on the field with them, those dudes were huge. I don't know if you've seen the DNs, but
yeah, they were some big guys.
It was like 6'7", 270 on one end and 6'7", 250 on the other end. I was like, dang, these guys are huge. And then, you know, just going back out there and then, you know, having Kingsley and Waylon leading the way for me. And then Kingsley had a good kick out block. Waylon had a good block upfield. And then, you know, the rest, I just had to hit the hole, and then there was no one there. You know, I had Darius blocking for me a little bit.
He helped pave the way. Were you afraid? And you just got in. Were you afraid they were going to catch you before you got to the goal line?
Yeah, I definitely was, because I could see him at first, and then he just disappeared. So then I could hear him, and then he just went quiet, like out of nowhere. So I was just like trying to find him, and I couldn't find him. So I was like, maybe he just stopped, and then
was it Darius that got him?
No, he didn't. He didn't block for me, I know. Right? That's what we talked about.
Because they got a hold of you right about the one, didn't they?
Right about the one, yeah. So then I fouled him, grabbed my leg. I was like, there's no way I'm going to stop right now and let Darius get a touchdown out of it. So I was just trying everything I could to get in the end zone.
You did the right thing.
You did the right thing.
And you win the game. You go to Arkansas and you beat those guys. Mm-hmm. Running into the locker room after doing that, you're 3-0. And I mean, what's the buzz?
Oh, it was surreal, you know, like just actually beating them. Like, I don't know, just because I had like friends back home like saying like, oh, I'm betting on you guys to win, you know. I'm like, all right, do it. Like, I got you guys, you know. And then for it to actually happen, it was just surreal, you know. That was my first Power 5 win, yeah, you know, in college and stuff like that. And it was just really fun, you know. Just, I would say that was the funniest game for me, you know, just realizing like there's playmakers all over the field. Like in high school, no offense to my team, but, you know, it was, if I wasn't doing nothing, then the team wasn't getting going. But, you know, like we, that last drive, I think we threw a ball to Keelan like 30 yards down the field, and that was a big catch. And then Chase with the one hander,
right,
just close out the game. Like, that was crazy. You know, I've never seen that. So, like, for me to be on the field and actually watching it was just, like, surreal.
That's fun. Yeah,
ESPN figured that Chase's catch was more dramatic than Darius's catch. Would you say?
Yeah, because Darius was only number 3 on the SportsCenter top 10.
And Chase was number 1.
Chase was 1.
Is that about right?
I would say so, because it kind of won us the game, you know.
Because of
the moment. But both, the catches were equally phenomenal.
Yeah, they were both insane, you know. I've yet to do it, so, you know, I can't say anything about it. But, yeah, hopefully this year I'll get a chance.
Have they using you more catching the ball in the backfield?
A little bit, you know. We're doing more screens, and then hopefully they'll hit the check down a little bit more this year and stuff like that. That would be fun, so I could get out in space. But,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
So let's go to touchdown number 2, the 29-yard touchdown against Cincinnati. Another one where speed was displayed.
Yeah.
And this one was in your house. This was at Lavelle Edwards.
Yeah, that one was really fun, Gino, because actually, like, the luck, it was a check play, right? So we were going to run our speed option. And then I was like, hey, Keaton, like, check it. Because they just had a whole bunch of dudes overloaded for some reason. I was, like, confused, like, why they were doing it. So sure enough, we checked it the other way to a mid zone. And there was no one over there. And then I just ran right to the end zone.
And that's what I like to hear. A running back who's like, hey, quarterback, there's too many dudes over there. Let's run it over here. And then the quarterback's like, okay.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
that's big time. Freshman's making the play calls out there.
What's the sound like when you break through the line and now you're at the 15-yard line and you know you're going to score and you feel the home crowd also sensing you're going in?
It's actually crazy because, like, you could feel it, like, once you actually score, but, like, in the moment, like, you don't hear nothing. Like,
really?
Just, like, is it just dead silent?
I don't know. I can't tell you. Like, I just don't hear nothing, really. Like,
and then when you're so across focused, the goal line,
you hear everything. You know, you hear the fireworks.
The sound goes back up when you go in.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That is really interesting. Okay, how about the 55-yard touchdown against Texas Tech? Probably the greatest display of speed all year.
It really set the tone for the game, too.
Yeah. See, this is the one we always talk about, right? Because it actually wasn't a touchdown. I ended up getting caught. But, you know, I was able to make that first guy miss. And then it was actually So Keely and Darius are my roommates. Right, and they're like, you need to unhook the wagon. And I was like, well, Keelan, that's the guy that's guarding you. You think I'm faster than you? Right, so that's my point. But anyways, if you see on the film, I'm running that way at first. But then I see Darius guy, the one that he's supposed to block, running towards me. So then I try to bend it back. And then Keelan's guy ends up catching me.
So your roommates didn't help you at all on that play? Is that what you're saying?
Basically.
That's right. And I got to correct myself because it was a 55-yard run, the longest run, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. You didn't score. And what you're telling us is this is all about Darius and Keelan.
Yep. If they would have ran down the field, you know, and made a block, get in the way, you know, I think I end up scoring. I'd be thanking them at the house. Yeah. Be like, hey, that was a great block.
Yeah. Daddy was like, where were you guys?
I get it.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But I imagine you guys have a pretty fun place.
Yeah, it gets fun.
Yeah, those sound like a couple of good roommates. There's a theme, though. When you have big runs, the BYU wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the ones we just mentioned, those are big-time games. So we need a few more big runs. Maybe we need Darius and Keelan to block.
Yeah.
And Chase with his big old arms now. He should be able to block.
That'll help a lot. So, yeah, I'm hoping they'll block this year.
When you go through spring and you know that the focus is on the running game, mm-hmm. and you know that the running game wasn't anywhere where you wanted it to be last year as a team. And so do you feel the weight of your running back room going, hey, the theme for this spring is we got to run the football, and we're going to go into the fall, and the theme's going to be successful in the Big 12, we got to run the football, and you're the guys that got to do it.
Yeah, I think we love it, you know. The guys in our room, you know, we want to be the ones to carry the load, you know. That's all we want to do. We want to run the ball as much as we can. We hope we never have to throw the ball in the air to Darius, you know. That would be fun a couple of times, but when the ball's in the air, you know.
Just to set up your next run, yeah. You know, that maybe they might throw it again.
And honestly, the better you guys are at doing that, the more big plays the guys on the outside are going to get in play action, because play action is the way to get the ball deep, you know, get everybody to bite.
Yeah.
When you're dominating them in the run game, get over the top, Darius and Chase and all these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, as a newcomer to collegiate football and collegiate sports, and we want to ask you about the Royal Blue Collective, and we asked Darius that a little bit, and he's got a different perspective because he's almost done with his college career. How has the collective been for you?
They've helped out a lot, you know. I mean, just coming in, I didn't really expect nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't expect to get nothing except scholarship, really. And that's all I really wanted. So, you know, just for them to be able to give us a few extra dollars and stuff like that, it really helps out a lot, especially like the walk-ons, like Darius said, you know. Yeah. Just having everyone's able to eat and eat from it. So it really helps out a lot.
Mark Comer's been here a couple of times, and we've asked all the players that have come through. The vision for BYU of it's not just we're going to hand you a few bucks, but we have a plan for your life. Mm-hmm. Do you catch the vision of that as a guy in the starting spot, really, of how are you guys really going to help me plan my life as they lay things out?
Yeah, you definitely see it. You know, they're able to do things like get your connections and stuff like that, you know, whatever your major is, like, for someone majoring in business, you know, they get you with a couple business guys, you know, and those are your mentors. They're teaching you like the in and outs, how to save money, how to spend money, and kind of like, you know, like taxes and actually like tax deadlines today, right?
So right.
They're teaching you like some things to write it off. So like if you're LLC, like all football expenses, they could be written off as,
yeah. You know. And you know what? That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great mentoring program. I love that, you know, the vision that BYU has with, and Kalani really believes in that. Kalani just doesn't want to, hey, let's try to be the highest bidder. He wants to have it be different, where they give you guys some life skills and some lifetime connections and teach you how to run businesses so you don't just make a little bit of money while you're here, but you make money for the rest of your life. That's do the guys that are, that you're seeing them recruit, do they get that? Do you guys help spread that news?
Yeah, we try to. I feel like if you want to come here, like a lot of people that do come here, it's bigger than football for them, you know, just because where we're at, you know, there's just good people around us and things like that. You know, you make lifelong connections out here, and it's really bigger than football.
All right, look, you ready for five questions?
Yeah.
Have you had you got a kind of a sneak preview of what was coming at you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you had time to think a little bit more. Darius had to answer it off the top of his head and did a phenomenal job, by the way. I love
the cereal. We expect that from a senior.
Frosted Flakes is an outstanding choice.
Yeah.
We trend toward sugar cereals here. We like those.
So. We're all about healthy living. Yeah, but not when
it comes to breakfast cereal. Come on, you got to start your day out right. So, yeah, okay. So let's start with your favorite sports movie.
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
I guess it counts. A BYU grad was in Space Jam, or a BYU player. Sean Bradley.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he was in Space Jam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was great. Tremendous actor.
Tremendous actor.
I guess humor me with a quick Sean Bradley story.
Now, you know Sean. Do you know Sean?
Yeah, yeah. He's seven foot six.
Yeah, 7'6" player. So
when he was playing, then he went through a tough accident.
Yeah.
And is paralyzed. Yeah, but when he set the school record.
He led the nation in block shots.
He's taller than everyone.
Phenomenal. Played with the Sixers, but first round draft pick. Yeah. We were playing a benefit football, flag football game, mm-hmm. kind of like the alumni game last week that Dave and I broadcast.
Yeah.
Same kind of rules. Utah versus BYU. And we put these teams together. And I was young enough to play back in the day. Now, like, I can't run. I'll blow out both hamstrings.
It looks like you still can, though.
You guys, you know what? We got to bring Darius and LJ back every week.
I know it.
So,
you guys are the best.
But I did commit I'll play next year. But because if Steve Young can play, then I certainly can play because he and I were teammates. But
yeah, we'll see. We'll see about.
Well, once we found out that they don't rush the passer anymore, we were all in. They did rush the passer in this thing. It was real flag football where the quarterback can get sacked. Mm-hmm. But we had Sean Bradley come to the game, but nobody knew. We had him back in the locker room. It was up at Utah. Uh-huh. And the first time we drove down, we get down to like the 15-yard line. We had it all staged where the announcer says, looks like BYU's bringing in the secret weapon. So Sean runs out of the tunnel. He comes and he lines up at wide receiver. He just goes to the corner of the end zone. Uh-huh. And I just throw the ball like 12 feet up. DBs are jumping up and down like munchkins. And he catches the ball and spikes it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, our secret weapon was a 7'6 wide receiver.
It's tough to keep that a secret.
It was
a weapon that's 7'6.
So fun to have Sean. And I was standing next to him on the sideline when defense was out there and talking to him, but I wasn't looking at him. And I turned and I looked at him and I realized I was talking right into his hip.
Oh,
like,
shoot.
He's that tall.
He's a big dude.
It's crazy. He's one of the biggest humans you've ever met. So, a little Sean Bradley story. Okay, Space Jam. Favorite singer or band?
I'll probably say Usher.
Yeah, now that's old school.
Yeah, yeah. That's my dad's guy. So, like, that's all my dad played growing up. And yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I love it. I appreciate that.
I love it. Favorite breakfast cereal?
Fruity Pebbles.
You got to eat them quick.
Have you ever had...
Or they go soft,
Have you ever had the Fruity Pebbles... You know how you make Rice Krispie treats? Have you ever had them made out of Fruity Pebbles?
Mm-mm, I never tried
that. Oh, guys.
That sounds good.
Mama Fowler's going to make some for you guys. and I'll have to have Gavin bring it. I'm going to tell him. Just bring these to Darius and LJ. Coach Fowler, bring those to you. When you try those, that's it. You won't ever have another regular Rice Krispie treat. You're going to have the Fruity Pebbles Rice Krispie treats. Okay.
That's a commitment. So,
okay. I'm going to get them from Mama Fowler, my wife,
sounds
Brenda.
Good.
So, favorite football moment of all time?
I would say probably... getting my first offer or like my first camp that led to my offer. That was probably like my biggest moment.
So who'd that come from? Who was your first
offer?
Was
it Baylor?
No, it was UTSA, but at the camp, it was an SMU camp. I didn't do, so like it's a crazy story because I went to Texas State the day before. I didn't do a while. And then I went to SMU at a mega camp and I was running the 40. This dude comes up to me, don't know who he is. And he's like, but I just see his OU hat on. Like, what class are you? I'm like 23, right? He asked stuff about me real quick. He's like, all right, I'm going to be following you around, whatever, right? Sure enough, he's following me.
Mm-hmm.
First college coach I ever talked to. This dude ends up following me around and stuff like that. He ends up giving me his number. He's like, yeah, yeah, just save it as DeMarco Murray. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, I'm
from OU, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, like, because I mean, growing up,
sure,
everyone's Cowboys fans around me. So, DeMarco Murray, that's all they're talking about and stuff like that. So, like, I'm like, oh, shoot, that's DeMarco
Murray. That's big time, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, now you're going back to a mega camp at SMU on September 6th, but running for the Cougs.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to go, man, we should have got home state, when we was at the camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be real fun.
That'll be really cool.
It'll be a long drive up from El Paso, but everyone's coming.
8 hours. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Everyone should be coming.
That's awesome. Great. Okay, your favorite thing about BYU?
Favorite thing, the people. Just really good people, solid people. Just care for you as a person, and that's something I really admire about them.
Were you surprised? Because you came in cold turkey on your visit to Provo, Utah. And now as you've been here for a year, were people nicer than you thought? What?
No, just from the time I met Coach Harvey. I mean, I knew him for about a month before I signed, but yeah. You know, just talking to him, talking to everyone else, like they just seemed like genuine, really one of the best.
And then when you got here, they were.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so that was a relief.
Have you ever watched film of Coach Harvey in college?
Yeah, we do. We always bring up that clip of him playing in the Utah game
where he ran over the dude and then stood over him.
Yeah, and then he smacks him or something.
Does he make you watch those, or does someone else put him on?
He gets mad actually when you play him and stuff. He's like, take that off and stuff. So
yeah, he was the definition of a beast when he ran. Oh,
for a guy who's so nice and soft spoken, You give him the football.
He punished some people in his day. Yeah. And he punished that safety from Utah.
And I remember when you were signed, we were talking to him. We had him on the show, and he said, there's a lot in you that was in him.
Yeah, he told us before you came.
He was a little heavier. But
that he saw a lot of the things that he did in you, and that's why he wanted you to be up here. That's a big compliment because he was a great player.
Yeah, I really appreciate him for that. And, yeah, you know, he was one great player, you know, played for the Bears for a while and stuff like that. So, you know, just to get that from him is a real big compliment.
It's great to have you here. It's nice to hang out with you.
Yeah. Yes,
sir, we're not in practice. You're not tired. You're not in a helmet. This is just straight who you are. And your parents can see the clip and listen to the podcast tomorrow. And they'll go, hey, that's what your boy's up to. Here as we get ready to wrap up the semester.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. We'll let you go back in the green room.
Great to have you guys there. Yeah.
We're going to tape a bonus segment with you guys for Cougar Board here in just a little bit.
We'll get done here and have you come back and do that for us. So,
how about these two personalities?
Great. Awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. And like, I don't know, like lately I've kind of gone where I like defensive guys since Gavin's coaching defense. Yeah,
well, now we got these guys.
But then I go back to my quarterback roots, and now I'm just going to have to root more for the offense.
Well, the beauty of this show, and also on Sports Nation, when you get a chance to see guys out of their uniform and in regular clothes doing their life, and then you go, hey, when they score touchdowns, you know a little bit about them.
Yeah.
You know, and you know how much Darius is smiling in his helmet because he got a touchdown because you know what he's like. But when he's got his helmet on, he can't see it in a game. Yeah. So I think this is great. This is great.
No, we're glad to have him. This has been fun.
Let's do our Cougar Board question of the week.
Yeah.
And we'll wrap up football. If you're not aware of Cougar Board, you should be, but it's the largest online community of BYU fans with thousands of posts daily. The question comes from C-Soul, one of their insider subscribers. How sustainable is the current NIL arms race? How long will the deep pockets continue to pony up when they're really only paying for one season, meaning kids can just
transfer out?
Yeah, good question.
No, it's a really good question. I was talking to an NFL buddy the other day, and he brought up a good point. He said college sports right now are way less regulated than pro sports. In the NFL, you draft a guy, he's got to come there. He can't just go wherever he wants to go, and he's got a contract. And he signs that contract, and he has a way to play himself into free agency, but most of the time they don't play themselves into free agency. If you go to another team, it's because if you ask for a trade, you get traded, and that team gets compensation back for you, and it's a fair trade. So it's very regulated. There's salary caps. Right now, college football is a free-for-all, and college basketball is a free-for-all, and in my opinion, that's not sustainable in the long run. So at some point, this arms race is going to simmer down, and they're going to have to get some guidelines around it, or it could be crazy and it could ruin the game. And I think everybody's looking for the NCAA or somebody to put some fences around some of this stuff to make sure there's some fairness. Now, you know, I've said before, and almost all the coaches that we bring on have said before, it's great. Players should share in the revenue, and they should be making some money on this. And, you know, a guy like Jimmer Fredette would have made millions of dollars when he was playing, and he should have. But there's got to be some guidelines, so it can't just be, hey, you should transfer out. We'll give you $5 million. No, we'll give you $6 million. I don't think it will come to that, because I think that cooler heads will prevail, and they'll come up with some type of a system where the players can get paid, and they can get paid what they're worth. But it's not just an arms race, and it's not just – you know, throwing money here and there and making shallow promises.
Speaking of getting paid, while we're in that single shot, oh, now we're on me. Let's go back to you. And will you model our defense drinks?
Yeah, but you know what? I already drank I mixed one up because I always drink the electrolyte hydration collagen one. They have a good pre one, but if I drank that, I'd be bouncing off the walls.
Defense Drinks makes a pre workout that's caffeine free. Get the energy and performance boost without disturbing your sleep, having caffeine jitters, or caffeine crashes. Being caffeine-free and using clean ingredients means it can be safely used by you and NCAA athletes. Save 10% on your order at defensedrinks.com using the promo code WISEGUYS. Good job modeling that.
This is my own stash.
Yeah.
I had one, and I'm not going to get too much collagen. This is going to be good for me.
Yeah. So. There it is right there. There's the promo code WISEGUYS. We appreciate their support.
I'm a good spokesmodel.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Let's run down what's going on campus as we cruise through another great show all around the world. And we appreciate everybody on the Wise Guys. At Cougar Board, look for our Q&A with LJ and Darius that we're going to shoot after this show, and then it'll be posted up there. So
for sure.
They're hanging out in the green room, and we're glad to have them here. Volleyball, it's tournament time.
Right, MPSF tournament Wednesday through Saturday at USC. The 3-seed BYU is against the 6-seed USC on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., and it's going to be streamed on Flow Volleyball. And then remember they split their 2-game series last week in L.A.
Yes, so they got a chance to beat them.
It's a good one.
Win in advance,
right?
Baseball is now 14-18, 6-12 in the Big 12. They're having some struggles. Baylor swept them in 3 games. Saturday's final, by the way, is 18-17.
I know. I can't believe that. Did you call that game?
Yeah, I did.
That's nuts.
It was like all day. BYU trailed 18-5. Scored 12 unanswered runs.
Usually in my experience, the team that scores 12 unanswered runs in a baseball game wins.
Yeah, yeah. It was the 9 unanswered before that got things out of hand.
That's the problem.
Tomorrow night, Utah Tech is at BYU. That's at 6 o'clock Mountain Time on ESPN+. Plus, Gary Scheide and I will have the call on that. Then Oklahoma comes in Thursday and Friday at 6 and Saturday at 1. Those are Mountain Times. All those games on BYU radio with Greg and ESPN Plus with Gary and myself.
How about softball? 22-9, 5-13 in the Big 12.
Yeah, but that fifth win, huge.
Yeah, BYU, Oklahoma, the number 2 Sooners take the series 2-1. But Friday night, BYU beat OU. How about that? 9-4.
9-4.
That's the first Big 12 home defeat for Oklahoma in 7 years.
Unbelievable. They've won the national title 3 years in a row.
Yeah, that's like, hey, 2-1 against Oklahoma at Oklahoma, that's humongous. That's big. So they're, and I feel like they're kind of on a roll. They've been taking their lumps in the Big 12, but they have top 5 wins at number 2 Oklahoma, and they also beat number 5 Oklahoma State. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like they're on a little roll here at the end.
Got Idaho State Tuesday at home. That's tomorrow night, 6 Mountain Time on ESPN+. Plus. And then Iowa State comes in Thursday and Friday at 6, Saturday at 1 on ESPN+. Plus. So that's going to be a confusing – it's always confusing for me because baseball and softball are going on at the same time.
Right,
Larry Miller Field, Game Miller Field.
Yeah.
So when there's nothing going on at Larry Miller Field and then the crowd explodes.
You're like, what just happened?
The viewers are like going, there's literally nothing going on. And I hear people screaming and there's playing the fight song. And we're something's happened behind
those us. Stadiums are back-to-back. I'm predicting this week for softball that they win. You know, Idaho State, they beat handily. And then this series with Iowa State, I think they're going to win the series 2-1.
Okay. We'll take that to the bank.
There you go. How about soccer? Big 12 schedule for the fall was released today. Conference home opener, Arizona State, Thursday, September 12th.
It's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, BYU's at TCU on Thursday, September 19th. Utah at BYU Monday, September 23rd.
That'll be a big Monday
night. That's a big one.
At the Southfield.
Big 12 championships, because having them be in the same league is cool in all sports.
Oh, yeah.
Big 12 championships Wednesday, October 30th through November 9th. And you know what? BYU's soccer team just competes for national championships every year.
That's
the expectation. I know that Jen's expectation every year is we're going to go compete for a national championship.
Lost a lot of kids from last year's team, but they rebuild.
They don't rebuild. They just reload it up, and they go again.
Track and field, the new rankings come out tomorrow. BYU women are 9th. The men are 19th. Golf is the Western Collegiate is underway today. It'll play through Wednesday on the Golf Channel for the men.
Yeah, and the BYU Women Big 12 Championships are Thursday through Saturday at Houston Oaks Country Club.
Yeah, it's showtime.
Did you watch the Masters at all this weekend?
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler again.
He's great.
When I was there a couple years ago, we met Scottie. I don't know if there's a nicer person in golf than him.
I know.
Like, I'm fine. He can win everything he wants.
And right now, there isn't a better golfer than him.
Isn't it nice when nice guys don't finish last, when they just keep winning?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best golfer in the world right now, and he is one awesome human being.
I enjoyed watching Tiger. I'm glad he made the cut and finished 4 rounds, and maybe we'll see more of him coming up.
Yeah, yep, for sure.
When he's in it, it's bigger. It just is.
Yeah, for sure.
BYU women tennis, 16-6 or 8-5. They beat Cincinnati and West Virginia last week. The Big 12 championships start Wednesday in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
I think they've been a bit of a surprise this year.
For sure.
And we had Holly, the head coach, on the show with us. She did a great job, and they've been playing well. They're a bit of a surprise in the league. Mm-hmm. And then BYU men are 11-10, 0-7.
They're having a tough time.
Yeah, and it's a tough, tough league in tennis. They lost at number 24, Central Florida, and at Texas Tech. Big 12 championships are Friday through Monday in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
So they go the women Wednesday through Saturday and start the men.
Yeah, Friday.
And they won't compete on Sunday.
They play Friday, Saturday, and then championships are on Monday.
Cougarettes are national champs again. Congratulations.
Anybody surprised on that?
National champs in jazz and hip-hop.
And so they go back, and those are the two categories they compete in, and they dominate. And if you've never been back, it is one of the most intense things you've ever seen. And you know you're good when the other teams you're competing with, like in between at night and stuff, when the Cougarettes are in line to get ice cream or something, people come up and say, hey, do you mind if we take a picture with you guys?
Nice.
I feel like it was like when Michael Jordan was playing in the league and younger players were like, hey, would you sign my jersey? That's how it is. They're like, they're so much better than anybody else. So the two categories they compete in, another two national championships. I've lost track. Is it 20?
I think it's 26.
26 national championships.
Yeah. Yeah,
most crazy. decorated program at BYU. They're amazing.
On this day, April 5th, Tax Day, 1910, William Howard Taft becomes the first U.S. president to throw out a first pitch at a baseball game.
Best first pitch ever thrown?
President Bush.
Oh, I'm with you, man. I knew you were going to say that. That when he went out there and threw right just a 9/11. Heater strike right after 9/11 in Yankee Stadium.
Bulletproof vest on. Yeah, it was awesome.
That was one of the best moments I've ever seen. That was the best first pitch I've ever seen. I'm with you. 1912, on this day, the Titanic sank in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Made for a good movie eventually.
Made for a movie.
Eventually.
1912, the ship that wouldn't sink sunk.
Yep.
1927, on this day, Babe Ruth hits the first of his major league record 60 home runs during the season. And that held up for a while, and then it's been blown away. But yeah. That was 1927, he hit number one of what was then the record 60.
Yeah, who knows, though? I mean, with juiced balls now and with juiced arms on it now, you know.
I think Babe might have been juiced.
Yeah, you think Babe was juiced back then?
But not with, you know, not with orange juice.
He might have been juice. On the juice. Yeah, yeah. You're right. 1947, Jackie Robinson takes the field for the Dodgers, becoming the first African-American to play in a Major League Baseball game. Amazing.
On this day. That's great.
Yeah, and have you seen that movie, 47?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. So good.
1955, the day that changed all of our lives.
Everyone's life.
First
everyone's life in the world.
McDonald's opened in DePlains, Illinois, the very first one.
Yeah.
Been eating McNuggets ever since.
Changed the world. And you and I, by the way, on a game day, sometimes we'll go to shoot
we'll
around.
Enjoy
a
Big Mac.
We'll go get a Big Mac.
You better believe it.
So my kids act like that's crazy that we like McDonald's, but I tell them to get, you know.
If that's crazy, sign me up.
I'll take crazy. 1958. The first Major League Baseball game ever in California, the Giants beat the Dodgers 8-0.
Yeah. 1965, the NFL changes the penalty flag from white to bright gold.
Yeah.
So they're out there throwing white flags.
That's where you get the term, there were hankies aplenty out on the field.
Yeah. Now they go with that gold stuff, and they like throwing it 30 yards.
Well, and
they
have that heart thing. One time they were throwing a flag when I was playing, and it hit me in the eye.
Yeah, well, that's not good.
They get a little too aggressive with that.
No, so, you don't get hit. You don't want to cause a penalty and then get hit by the flag.
No, that's a bad deal. 1975, the debut of the San Diego Chicken, one of the greatest mascots in the history of sports.
Yeah, he showed up on this day. Birthdays on April 15th, 1452, Leonardo da Vinci.
And I've seen many of his works. Again, just this not that long ago, but I went into a crowded room to see the Mona Lisa, and my family said, there's no way to get up there. And I said, you watch me get up there. And I took my cell phone, and I just busted my way through a whole crowd of people and got up there, and I have a close-up with me and the Mona Lisa.
Did you feel good about that?
I felt really good about it. So, 1933, Elizabeth Montgomery's birthday.
Yeah, I know all her works.
Bewitched.
Bewitched.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And 1990, Emma Watson. April 15th, deaths, of course, 1865.
Yep. The president, one of the greats, Abraham Lincoln.
On this day, and President Lincoln is our wise guy's inspirational quote of the week.
Of course he is. On the commemoration of his death in 1865. In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years.
Yeah. Think about that. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's a great one.
President Lincoln. Our special thanks to Darius Lassiter and L.J. Martin and to Steve Cleveland, who started the show off, giving us the very latest on the BYU coaching search and dropped a couple names that we hadn't heard before.
Great insight from Coach Cleve, and then we love having him on always. And how fun were Darius and L.J.?
They were great.
It was great.
Great. Next week, Matt Bushman, who has two Super Bowl rings, mm-hmm. Brandon Doman, one of our longtime friends who played for the 49ers, and won Lavelle's last game in dramatic fashion.
Right.
And we'll talk to him a lot about the changes of the game and NIL and some of that stuff that he's been watching. And BYU's alumni director, Michael Johansson, will be here to talk about the Dallas Fan Fest, which is at the end of next week. And that'll be cool for everybody in that area.
And evidently, Darius is going to make an appearance at the Arizona one. We'll give you the dates on that.
LJ, are you going to the Dallas Fan Fest?
As a Texan? LJ will be there. Okay. So LJ will be at the Dallas Fan Fest.
So you get his autograph and all that stuff.
And then Darius is going to be at the Arizona Fan Fest.
Home states, yeah. Right?
So you guys go to home states.
What a sensitive coach to be able to send you to the home states.
I like that. Kalani thinks about that kind of stuff. So
that's good. Good deal.
All right.
Podcast will be out tomorrow. Share it with your friends. And we sure appreciate you being with us. And look for our YouTube clips from these interviews tonight. We'll also keep you posted on the coaching search. It's got to end. They got to name it by Thursday. They don't have to, but they should.
Hey, according to Coach Cleve, next 2 days, he thought. Yeah. Maybe even tomorrow.
Yeah. That would be nice.
That'd be awesome.
That would be nice. Well, I'll see you at the ballpark on ESPN Plus, and we'll be back here next week.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
See you guys.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.